Hello, welcome to Leto's Law. Today we're talking about how the I Don't Like Mondays shooter might get out of prison. And of course, I'm talking about the story that was made famous by a song written by Bob Geldof of the Boomtown Rats, a band I had heard of before that song came out. Another story altogether. But we're talking about a very, very famous shooting that took place. In fact, it's one of the earlier school shootings to make the news. And it's now coming out that the shooter is up for parole, and there's a chance they might give it to her. So here's the entire story from the beginning. One of America's most notorious school shooters, who infamously inspired the song I Don't Like Mondays, is eligible for parole, and her lawyers believe this time she could get out. Apparently, she's been up for parole before, but didn't work out for her. Her name is Brenda Spencer, and she was 16 years old when she shot two people but wounded eight others at Grover Cleveland Elementary School in San Diego in 1979. This was a huge story at the time. Brenda Spencer killed two people and wounded the eight kids in a shooting spree that baffled everybody at the time. And so the police finally talked her down and actually arrested her after they promised her a Burger King meal. But it's a very, very strange story. She's 56 years old today, or now, and she also has epilepsy, but she claims that she came from a broken home and that led to all of her troubles, or at least many of them. But what happened during the shooting is there was a standoff at one point where they'd finally gotten all the kids secured and the injured out of the way, and she was holed up in the house because she lived across the street from the school. And so a news reporter started calling numbers of people up and down the street trying to get somebody who was on the scene who would talk to him. And apparently she answered the phone at one of those phone calls. And so the reporter asked her, "Why are you doing this?" And her response was, "I don't like Mondays. This livens up the day." So that line, "I don't like Mondays," inspired the Boomtown Rats, Bob Geldof, the lead singer and songwriter, who wrote the song called "I Don't Like Mondays." But since her imprisonment, she's claimed to have been drunk on whiskey and high on PCP when she did the shooting, which, by the way, lasted about 20 minutes. Grover Cleveland's principal, Burton Ragg, and a caretaker named Mike Suchar both lost their lives in the shooting, which started around 8:30 in the morning. She had apparently targeted youngsters who had gathered at the gates of the school, which was not yet open. Teachers, including Ragg and janitor Suchar, rushed out to help the stricken kids and were subsequently fired upon by the disturbed assassin. It emerged afterwards that she told a police negotiator that she liked to watch the children squirm around after they'd been shot. She was eventually persuaded to drop her rifle, which was given to her as a Christmas present by her father. Her weapon had a telescopic sight on it. That's what they think helped her take aim from across the street because the house was on the other side of the road. One police officer was shot in the neck but survived. And then the killing spree was halted after a smart-thinking police officer drove a garbage truck between the house and the school and blocked the line of sight of the shooter. The attack sent shockwaves throughout the United States, as school shootings were a rarity in the 1970s. Spencer was tried as an adult and pled guilty to two counts of murder. And so that way she was never actually, you know, in a court with respect to having to answer questions. She was spared the death penalty because of her age. She was given two terms of 25 years to life, which would run concurrently, and would give her a chance of parole. Now, it's obviously been more than 25 years. It's more like 40 years now. So she'd come up for parole before. But her lawyers told the Daily Mail, which is another one of the news agencies I saw reporting this story. This one's off, I think, the Sun. But her lawyers told the Daily Mail that her application for parole this year could be successful, citing her considerable progress at rehabilitation behind bars. During her stay at the California Institute for Women, Spencer has been described as a model prisoner who wants to be a forklift driver upon her release. Aim high. Her lawyer told the Mail that he believes she will not reoffend, describing her as a troubled young girl who was the victim of unbelievably bad parenting. who should have never been allowed near guns. The convicted killer claims she was also sexually abused by her father, and that's allegations that he strongly denied while he was still alive, but apparently he's passed away. Bob Geldof said that he'd heard about the shooting while he was in America, and it inspired him to write the song, and I'll get to that in a second, because that's another interesting piece of trivia. Spencer now has said that she is, in fact, gay, and she was feeling very, very badly about her life when her girlfriend from prison was released. A lot of interesting facts in the story here. In 2005, a San Diego district attorney used this incident to paint the convicted killer as psychotic and unfit for release because when she was upset about her girlfriend being released from prison, she had scratched the words unforgiven and alone onto her body. And so that was used as evidence that she might not be perfectly settled yet. On that occasion, a little over 10 years ago, it took just 15 minutes for the parole board to reject her application. But yeah, I guess her father died in 2016. So she's back up for parole now. And one of the strange things is that I saw this story cross the internet this morning on my desk, and I check a variety of websites, and I purposely check a variety of websites, meaning that I check them from all over the spectrum, all over the globe, and this story popped up two or three times in the British and Australian press, but I did not see it covered anywhere in the American press. So I think it's an interesting story, but I also think it's important that we are aware of this. Personally, if I was on the parole board, I wouldn't be inclined to let her out. There, you know, in my mind, are certain crimes for which rehabilitation isn't really the only thing we're looking for. You know, the fact that she, in cold blood, was shooting at children and taking pleasure in watching them squirm, which is what she said, and admitted at the time that she was doing it on purpose, and so on and so forth. So, as far as I'm concerned, lock her up and leave her there. But in case you're curious about the song I Don't Like Mondays by the Boomtown Rats, Bob Geldof was in America, actually in Atlanta, when the shooting took place. And he was in a radio station, and the news was coming across the wire. He refers to it as a telex machine, but it's probably an AP newswire machine. And he said he was actually watching the updates come across in real time. And he said, I read it as it came out. Not liking Mondays as a reason for doing somebody in is a bit strange. I was thinking about it on the way back to the hotel, and I just said, silicon chip inside her head, it switched to overload. And I wrote that line down. And the journalists interviewing her had said, tell me why. And of course, that's a refrain from the song. So he said, it was such a senseless act. It was the perfect senseless act, and this was the perfect senseless reason for doing it. He goes, so I wrote the perfect senseless song to illustrate it. And it wasn't an attempt to exploit the tragedy. He was just simply so struck by how odd all of it was. And, you know, if you're a songwriter, you express yourself through song. You know, if you're a writer, you write. And if you'd been a poet, he would have written a poem probably. But he wrote the song. And he recorded the song. And originally, he had simply wanted it to be a B-side on a single back when they put those out. But whenever they performed the song in concert, people responded to it. So finally, they did release it as a single. Spencer's family actually tried unsuccessfully to prevent the single from being released in the U.S. I'm not sure what right they'd have to do that. The song was number one in the U.K., Australia, Ireland, and South Africa. But it only hit number 73 on the U.S. charts. And like I said, I remember hearing it on the radio, but it was rock and roll stations like WRIF or WABX in Detroit that play it. But it was not being played on top 40 stations, for that matter, and it obviously never got anywhere near Casey Kasem's countdown, but number 73. But many people will also remember the song for a slightly different application because Bob Geldof played the song at Live Aid. And if you remember, Live Aid was a huge event raising money for famine in Africa. And Bob Geldof was one of the guys who organized that entire event. Bob Geldof and Midge Ure of Ultravox were the two guys primarily behind that. And there's a huge show in England, and there's a huge show in America. And they actually did this entire thing for charity. It was amazing how much money they raised. And all the musicians donated their time. And because of the nature of it, Bob Geldof actually got to put some interesting rules in place. And one of the rules that he told bands was, I'm inviting you to perform at this big event. We're trying to raise money. If you play at this event, you don't get to come out and do your latest songs off your latest album. You're not here for promotion. We want you to come out and play your hits, okay? And everybody's been through this before, and this is a little off topic, I understand, but you go to see some band play that's got a catalog of 20 albums, and they spend half their concert playing the junk off their new album, and you're going, what's this stuff? I don't want to hear this. I want to hear the old stuff. So Bob Geldof actually told bands, you have to play, and he checked with them, what song are you going to play? Okay, that's okay. What songs if it's more than one? And what's even funnier, and I read an entire book about this, is that Bob Geldof mid-year reached out to all the bands that they could think of. And famously, some bands turned them down when they found out that the job didn't pay. And Bob Geldof said, well, we can't pay you. It's a charity. All the money goes to charity. We can't have people donating money and give some to you because you played. It doesn't make any sense. Huey Lewis and the News refused to play. Now, I've seen this in several different places as the explanation as to why they didn't play. But in Bob Geldof's autobiography entitled, Is This It? Or Was That It? Something like that. He says that Huey Lewis's manager had said, no, Huey Lewis is the biggest band right now in the world. He doesn't play anywhere for free. Sorry. If you pay him, he'll show up. But otherwise, no. Meanwhile, the remaining members of Led Zeppelin got together to play as a favor to Bob Geldof and his charity. And Status Quo, a huge band in England but unknown in America, also reunited just for the show. It was that big. Big enough for Led Zeppelin to reform, but not big enough for Huey Lewis. But anyways, Bob Geldof, because he's a musician and he had a couple hits in England, put himself on the bill and said, well, I'm going to sing a song or two as well. And so he went out on stage, and I Don't Like Mondays was the number one hit in England. So following his own rules, he went out and he sang, I Don't Like Mondays. And it's a very, very famous moment, if you saw it, and you can probably find it online, is there's a line in the song where he says, and the lesson today is how to die. And in the song, there's a little break there. But during the performance of it live at Live Aid, Bob Geldof stopped. The band stopped. Total silence for 20 seconds in front of a sold out, I believe it was Wembley Stadium. And it was an extremely dramatic moment. And of course, there he was equating it to the problems that they were trying to resolve in Africa or trying to help with in Africa. Many people will look at the song and say, well, it's such a trivial song to be writing about such a serious topic. And in a roundabout way, it is too bad that the song kind of, you know, lent some fame to the shooter. But I think, you know, it's an incident that shouldn't be forgotten, especially as the woman is now up for parole. And I certainly hope that whoever's on the parole board takes a look at this and doesn't just look at the arguments about look at her today. You know, look at her today. She may be rehabilitated. She may want to become a forklift driver. But she killed some people. And her stupid reasoning, I think, should kind of mitigate against her getting out or getting out on parole. So the I Don't Like Mondays shooter up for parole. And if she gets it or doesn't get it, I will report on that later. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.